How do you sum up your season? What are you going to take away from it?
I'd sum up our season as one of growth. I would take away from it that the players, as they started out as first-year pros, have improved. And the veteran players have again been able to show whether they're able to have that leadership or not, and they have been strong leaders. So that's how I'd assess that.
Brendan admitted that the mood in the room wasn't the best during some of those losing streaks. What did you see as coach?
I thought overall our group, I thought it was positive. Obviously, whenever you have times when you're not winning hockey games, and we understand there was quite a few of those this season, there's going to be frustration. But I thought for the most part, the young players, we wanted to make sure as a coaching staff that things stayed positive, along with still continuing to push in the right direction and keep expectations at a high level. But overall, when I look at our games, when we had tough games and when we had good ones, I thought the messages were real positive. We pushed when we needed to, and also are very aware of young minds that you can't let things go negative, and you have to make sure that you keep their mindset in the right areas.
Keith, can you put your finger on a day or a game or a practice or even an event where finally it occurred to you, well, we're not wasting our time here with a bunch of young guys who don't know the pro game very well? Was there something or somewhere where you thought finally we're getting somewhere here?
Yeah, to maybe the call-ups. When I saw the players go up to the Winnipeg Jets, in the player that jumps off to me would be when I saw Joel Armia. We had him for the portion in St. John's last year, and we knew what the challenges were with his game, but seeing him go up to the Winnipeg Jets and those deficiencies not part of his makeup anymore, and then Scott Kozmichuk, a player on the bubble. It was probably, to some, a little bit of a question mark whether he should have been the guy or not, but went up and proved that he can play some strong hockey in the best league in the world. So those two call-ups for me, along with the many others that were strong, those two really made it a checkpoint when you look at why we're doing this.
A lot of talk in the city with Connor Hellebuyck and the year that he had when he got a chance to be up, and then obviously continuing on with you. Outside of stopping the pucks so well, what do you see from him as being such a good pro?
Consistency would be with Connor Hellebuyck with me. You look at how he plays the game. There's not a lot of flash, and that's a good thing. And it's been well documented and well talked about what he brings. And I thought the biggest thing, whenever he obviously was playing with the Winnipeg Jets and he was the number two, yes, he played some good hockey, but whenever he had that opportunity to run with the ball, and the pressures that come along with that being the number one goalie for that period of time, I thought he handled it excellent. I thought, in the big bright lights of the best league in the world, I thought he did a really good job of not letting that pressure get to him.
So what was the give and take between winning and development down in this league? How do you try to maybe balance that up a little bit more next season where you can be a little bit more competitive?
We're going to have a year experience under our belt, so all the guys that we turned pro this season are now going to have that experience, so that'll help. And then it's just a matter of balancing those younger players with some experienced players. And I look at the experienced players that we brought in. No disrespect to Matt Fraser. We thought he was going to be a little bit able to contribute more than he was than actually took place. Jay Harrison, a player that was sent down again, had to deal with injury. Thomas Raffel, a player that, again, we thought he'd be able to be that depth player and add a little bit of experience age-wise. Not able to, and more so for him than for us, not able to really show exactly what got him that contract over here in North America. So we'll have that experience under our belt, and it's just a matter of balancing those players now in their second year and the players that will be going back into their first year turning pro with good experienced veteran players, the right players.
Fraser's been a guy in this league who's a proven scorer. What do you think went wrong for him here?
Every player is different, and it happens to a lot of individuals at the game at this level. When you go into certain situations, maybe whatever takes place going into the season, your mindset isn't right. Maybe your opportunity at NHL camp wasn't what you thought it was going to be. The player himself would be able to answer it better, but it just happens. I think of Peter Budaj would be a reference. I was speaking to someone about that the other day. Peter's an excellent man, a real high-quality professional, comes to work every day. Couldn't find his game in St. John's. For the life of him, could not find his game, and it wasn't from lack of trying or lack of caring. Just couldn't get his head where it needed to be, and we all know how well he's played this year. He's been excellent in Ontario. So is that a case of Matt Fraser? I'm not sure. Is that a case of Jay Harrison? Again, not quite sure whether those fit in the same snares, but I know a pretty good reference point with regards to what happened to Peter Budaj.
Does Thomas Raffle deserve another chance?
That'd be for management, Paul. Yeah. That'd be for management to answer that.
Would you like to see him get it?
Again, that would be, I had a real small sample taste of Thomas Raffle. Every time it looked like you were seeing the signs of his game on why he was put under an NHL contract, as a big man trying to get his speed back up in his game to where it was in training camp, he was back on the IR.
Okay. From your standpoint, now that the season's over, was it what you thought it would be, being in the same city with the big club and organizationally?
I thought with regards to our, the support was excellent. I thought the support with the games, regardless of the results, the fans were into the games. They were supportive. They were understanding and seemed to, for the most part, enjoy the product that was on the ice, win or lose. The relationship between the NHL club and the AHL club has always been strong. The travel, is self-explanatory for a guy to have to drive around the perimeter to practice instead of endure a 4 or 5 hour travel day back and forth between St. John's was an improvement. It was a learning curve with the back and forth for pregame skates being at the Iceplex, and then the games being at the MTS Center. That was a bit of a rush and a getting used to for our first year. But I thought once we got into a routine, that was better. There was a little bit with the renovations that are going on. With regards to not being in the same vicinity, you have people spaced out, your training staff's in one area, your players are downstairs, your coaches are upstairs. So, but we knew that was going to be what it was for the first year. But overall, if I'm going to look at, was it the right decision to bring the team from St. John's to here? Yes, with the players alone just talking to them and the deep breath, the sigh that they take, of just being able to drive around for a 15-minute drive to go to practice on those recalls, that in itself is going to get you a fresher player to play at the National League level.
If a fan says to you in the next 2 weeks, what's the reason you should be optimistic or more optimistic about the Moose next season, what would you say to them?
I would say the development of the young players, Tim. I'd say the players the amount of guys that went up to the Winnipeg Jets and played well for the big club. And now, whether they make the Winnipeg Jets next season or not, they're that much closer. They're that much more polished to their game on having getting their feet wet in the National Hockey League. For me, along with the NHL side, the development, the growth that took place here from the beginning of the year, from the start of the season, our opening game, against Ontario, when quite honestly standing on the bench was taken a little bit back by the lack of execution, the lack of speed. It wasn't a very good game to watch. To where we sit now, to where we sit with regards to our record after February. Chris White brought up a good stat the other day to me about being close to a 500 club after February. That's a real good gauge for us on where we started and where we finished. The product on the ice, the improvement, the players, and we're hearing the same in the exit meetings that they felt that they improved and they got better. So that in itself is something to look forward to.
Is a Jimmy Lodge hat trick a punctuation mark on that progress?
It would be, Tim. Yeah, it is. I've always liked Jimmy Lodge's game, mm-hmm. That player in particular. I like the way he plays, and the numbers tell you shouldn't. But he's a guy that's... that's been around the puck. I used a reference of an Eric O'Dell. And again, he started in the American League in St. John's with being in and out of the lineup, not producing much offensively, and all of a sudden becoming a 30-goal scorer. That Jimmy Lodge, seeing him score those 3 goals does put an exclamation point on it. But for me, not only just the 3 goals looking on paper, but the way he scored them. They were high-quality, skilled plays which he was able to finish on. So that in itself, that definitely, the big picture of things, puts a stamp on it.
I guess my point was kind of every players develop at different paces. Some go faster than others. Jimmy hasn't gone as fast as others, but he's still going, right?
He's still going. Every player takes time. Every player over the years is always, some guys get it after their first year, Adam Lowry. Other players, Ben Schrott, take a little bit longer. Every player is a different, has a different approach to how he comes to the rink every day. And some guys are closer than others, and sometimes that's accelerated. But it does take time, and each individual, there's different paths for him.
What can you say about the development of Brendan Lemieux and Jonathan Harkins? Obviously, only had him for 5 or 6 games. But what were your thoughts from when they first came to the city to today?
I would say I'll give you an assessment on the player. I won't be able to say over the short sample size we've had him, but the players themselves, I thought Jonathan Harkins, real smart, intelligent centerman for an 18-year-old. I was pleasantly surprised with how well he read the game. I referenced a little bit of Adam Lowry with that. Adam Lowry, we got him at the end of the year from Swift Current, was, when you think in coaches, in coaches' thoughts on lines and structure and where he is on the ice, he understands the game with that. So I was pleasantly surprised by that. His skating was something I was watching closely, and it isn't the most pleasant-looking stride when you watch it, but when I watch him in the game itself, he doesn't look a step behind. It doesn't seem to affect him. And again, he's young. That's going to improve. And Lemieux, Brendan Lemieux, I would say I like the fact that he's – I like the sandpaper that he brings. He's exciting to watch when he gets the puck. He has strength and a frame to him that is closer to an NHL frame with regards to creating space for himself. And you can see the you can see the offensive instincts of the game. You can see the way he shoots the puck, the release, how engaged he is in every single shift. So those two players joined us. I thought for them leaving a good impression out of these games, that was one of the things we wanted to provide to them is can they leave a good impression in the coaches, staff, and management's eyes? They did that, but also did they get a chance to play some pro games under their belt, and that alone is going to help them come to training camp.
We're going to see how things play out goaltending-wise over the summer, but just from the sample size you got of Eric Comrie in his first year as a pro, just what do you take out of this year for him moving forward?
Again, as we went into the season, my mind is trying to balance between Connor Hellebuck and Eric Comrie. Really great thing with regards to our side of things on goalie development and what we have in the prospect of Eric Comrie to play that all those games when Connor was up, and I thought he really showcased himself well. I thought at the end of the day, I've said this before, I gauge my goalies on, is my goalie better than the guy on the other side of the rink, and 9 times out of 10 Eric Comrie was.
For the casual fan who just kind of glances at the stats and, you know, the highest score on the team at 41 points, 19 goals is the tops there. Is there more skill on this roster than those stats would indicate?
It's coming along. There's the same thing when a player finishes junior college with as one of his top goal scorers. He's not just going to plant himself into the pro game and have the same kind of numbers. So it's again, those players just getting a feel for the lack of space on the ice and getting a feel for what they need to improve on and areas they can exploit, but that's what you hope that is going to come to bubble to the top again.
For players like Nick Batan, Josh Morrissey, Eric Comrie, some really high-end prospects that are here with you right now, a lot of people want to rush these guys to the NHL. They see a glimpse of them and they look great. Do you feel that a player can be overripe? Can they spend too much time developing, or is there never enough development or too much?
It can come to a time when a player is obviously, with regards to his game, is in a good place. If he misses that opportunity for a call-up, then there can be a situation where, you know, now the players, the game of that individual is now, it takes a while to get back up to that level. And I would use that reference with Scott Kosmachuk. Scott Kosmachuk, at the time he was called up, was playing the best hockey he's played for this organization in a year and a half. And fortunately enough, he was able to get called up and run with that. If that player sits for a little bit longer in the American League, it's not going to be a negative thing with regards to playing more minutes, but his confidence and where his game's at, if you can strike at the right time with players to get those opportunities, then that only helps with their game growing.
Does Brendan Kitchen strike you as the kind of guy that might be in that space where, you know, a call-up and actually being able to get a game in would have helped his confidence a lot?
Yeah, it would have helped him. And again, you're going into, he put himself in a situation where he is the player, he's a defenseman getting that call-up, so a credit to him. But again, you know, you're talking about defensemen up in the National Hockey League looking for opportunities too in the last couple of games of the Winnipeg Jets to showcase themselves. And for him to get the call and put himself on the radar, that's a credit to him. But it's up to whenever he gets up to the Winnipeg Jets, whether he's the guy going in the lineup or not, that's a different decision.
Darren Kramer had a bit of a kind of a one-dimensional reputation before this year. What did you see in his growth?
I wasn't so much looking for growth in Derek Kramer. I was just looking for reliability, and he's a more reliable player than I thought he was coming to this season. I saw him in Binghamton and more in that one-dimensional role, but here with what we had in our lineup, you know, being able to be that that policing figure for these young guys on the ice, but also play some minutes so he can be a leader in that room and give him that support coaching-wise to play a bigger role in on the on-ice product. I thought he played a more of a two-way game.
How was the relationship with Tulsa the first season with them?
It was good. It was real good. We were obviously the same coach there, Jason Christie, that we've had in the past there in Ontario. So it's always been good. You get busy, caught up in the days of every coach with regards to dealing with day in, day out of operations. But the conversation between Craig Heisinger and Jason Christie and myself and Jason Christie have always been real strong. So I thought when those players did get sent down there, Jimmy Lodge and Yuri Franck and Axel Blomqvist, I thought they were better players when they came back up. I thought they had more of an appreciation of the American Hockey League.
More teams are using that ECHL level as a place to kind of put some of their younger, more raw prospects. You coach in that league. Is that something you've seen, and what can that do for them?
It was a while ago. That would have been, that'd have been 7 years ago. But it's a good league. It's a better league than a lot of people give it credit. I think sometimes, when you go down to that level, if you're a skilled player, you get more touches on the puck. You get that confidence when you're hopefully scoring some more goals. As a defenseman, you have a chance to maybe be a little stronger in the corners, defend better, not be exploited with regards to lack of foot speed. It builds confidence. Minutes on ice, minutes played builds confidence in your game, and from that, then you look for growth.
Looking across the league, who do you see in the playoffs as the real contenders?
I haven't seen all the teams, but I know talking to other coaches, sounds like Providence has got a real good team. Hershey. We know Ontario is a well-built, defensive, big, strong playoff team. We were unfortunate to have to play the Toronto Marlies as many times as we had to play them, so they're a top-end team, too. It sounds like across the board there's it's going to be a real good push here in the playoffs to see who can go with it, but there's some high-end teams pushing for it.
Do you have a cup pick for the league?
Is there one or two players you most expect of your players, most expect to push for NHL work next season? Would you be willing to say?
If I was to pick two right now, I'd Connor Hellebuck is obviously the obvious one when you're looking at it. I would look at Josh Morrissey the same, depending on what takes place with contracts in the summertime with the Jets. Mm-hmm. Brendan Lemieux would be another one. Again, a player that showcased himself well here. But again, that's going to depend on what's signed and what's kept in the summertime here with management.
I talked to Brendan Lemieux a week or two ago, and he said he made a decision during junior to adjust his game to a pro-style game where he paid attention to back-checking and those less sexy aspects of the game. How many of the players you get coming out of junior, coming to the American Hockey League, have made a conscious decision like that, or is that a transition process for you?
Well, usually your more defensive players you get play, they have more awareness of having to play that style, and more of a 200-foot game. Your offensive guys have a little bit more cheat to their game, so you have to instill that in them, that there's two parts of this game, and there's not a coach in the world that's going to be confident enough to put a guy, an offensive guy, out on the ice all the time if he can't defend. So you have to instill that reliability in your coaching staff. But individuals are different when they come. Some guys are polished with understanding that you need back pressure. In your game, you need to make sure that there's different elements that help you play a more steady pro style. But in other guys, you got to teach it to. So it's just a balance of each player is different that comes in. Some have it, some you have to teach it to.
Is that redefining, in your opinion?
No,
their definition of what success is a hockey player coming out of
success team? or structure.
A lot of them have defined their success as hockey players as being successful offensively in junior.
For me, it's all offensive players they gauge themselves on whether they're scoring or not. If they're doing well offensively, what you have to teach them is that in order to utilize those skills, you have to make sure that you're starting with the puck, and that comes with defending well. You can't spend a minute 15 in your own zone defending and expect you're going to have enough in the tank to go use those offensive abilities. So that is again a maturing process, a learned trait that comes through practice and games.
Speaking with a lot of the go ahead.
One more question, just personally, from your perspective, you've been to an American Calder Cup final and everything else. Do you professionally prefer the challenge of taking a young group like this and developing them into legitimate NHL prospects, or do you prefer going to the Calder Cup? It's kind of a tough question.
I want to give you a cleaner answer on this, but they're both fulfilling. They're fulfilling to stand behind the bench in a Calder Cup final. That's very fulfilling for a coaching staff, that all the work that takes place during the season to get your team there. And in that scenario of a team that wasn't supposed to be there, that in itself is very fulfilling. It makes it all worthwhile. But it brings a lot of pleasure also to sit back and turn the TV on and see players that you've been coaching, to see them playing for the Winnipeg Jets. That brings a smile to your face. But what really, again, even brings more pleasure to it is when you see all the things that you talk to players about in certain areas where they need to be better, and you see them doing that in the National League, then that has a real fulfillment side as well to it. So there, I wish I could give you a cleaner answer to it. They're both good situations, obviously, with regards to the American Hockey League.
Speaking to the younger players, the first thing they'll tell you about the offseason is they need to get bigger, stronger, faster to make it to the next level, right? For you as a coach, how do you plan to get better this offseason?
I'm always in the, I'm not going to get bigger, stronger, faster. I'm going to try to eat better with the amount of travel and that. But as a coach, you're always in the summertime. You know, you take about probably 2-3 weeks to kind of dissect everything and take a deep breath. But you look at, you know, areas you felt that the team overall grew in, areas you felt that you need to improve. But you also keep your pulse on different trends that are happening. You know, you watch the National Hockey League games, as you do all season long. And again, the pre-scouts for AHL games as well, different systems and ways teams are playing now that you really comb over and see whether that is something that interests you or not. And sometimes it does interest you, but sometimes you don't have the pieces that can help you to play that way. But it's there's certain style of play that you like as a coach, and definitely you comb over in the summertime and attend different coaches seminars and that. But once you see the ghost roster and the team that you're going to be handed in training camp, then you say, can we play this way? Can we play the way that I want to play? And yes, if we can, then that's great. No, if we can't, then you make your adjustments to focus on where your strengths and weaknesses are.
Do you feel at the end of the season that the team developed any kind of identity?
I thought our work ethic got a lot better. I thought our from the beginning of the year, our practice habits. I've always stressed practice. It's a huge part of development. I thought when how hard we practiced, and I thought our game overall, we played a more, and it was just used here, more of a pro style game. I sat behind the bench there in Texas. I thought we played that team really well, and I watched us go up and down the ice, and I thought to myself, we look like a better polished team right now. There's more polish to our game right now. And that takes to the last game in the season sometimes. But I thought overall that we played a more pro style.
Is there an ingredient or an element that you'd like to see on your roster next year?
It's for me, it's balance. I'd like to see balance. I'd like to see a little bit of balance between the youth that are here and balance with some continue to be balanced with some good veterans in there.